1029 The Hog presents another Bob and Brian podcast.
Brought to you by ScreenX, exclusively at Market Ridge Cinema in New Berlin. ScreenX provides moviegoers with a 270-degree viewing experience. Immerse yourself in the breathtaking visuals at Marcus Ridge Cinema's ScreenX in New Berlin. Get your tickets at marcustheaters.com.
Time to talk music news with our music expert, Gary Graff. Good morning, Gary.
Good morning. How are you?
We're good.
Were you at the draft last night?
I was at the draft. There was music, so I was there.
Who was who's playing up on stage? Because we can never tell.
Right, because they don't show it during the thing. So that was Big Sean, you know, rapper out of Detroit, but you know who has made quite a national name for himself.
Okay. And
then of course Eminem came on, you know, to help kick off the draft.
I thought that open to the draft was about as lame as it gets. With you got Eminem, you got Goodell, you got Goff, you got Hutchinson, you got, and all of them did the same thing. You know, they just stepped up to them like, "What's up, Detroit?" You know,
that's all they said.
It was embarrassing. It was cringeworthy. Make some noise, Detroit. You know,
the pre-recorded.
That's it.
The pre-recorded thing was a little more clever.
They should have stopped with that, because having him live at the microphone was like
that. Or I did think Eminem might bust a rhyme or something up there, or do something like that. But yeah. It was your basic. It was a sport. We had to remind ourselves it's a sports event. It's not a music event. You know, they're not there to perform. They're there to hype up the crowd.
Barry Sanders, what did Barry say? Barry had a little bit more to say, but not much.
Just a little bit. No, because, you know, that's they want to get into the draft. They're already going to be,
right,
you know, way late in the evening.
Next year, my team will deliver that cringeworthy moment in
Green Bay. I will say that, you know, just seeing the footprint it made here in Detroit, and, you know, I'm sure you heard, we had 275,000 people. They had to close the gates. I've not been to Green Bay in quite some time. Are there places for people to stay and stuff?
Detroit is still bigger than Green Bay.
Yes, okay. Still, that
even with
changed.
Several additions.
I don't know what they're gonna. I don't know where they're gonna put people, Gary. I honestly don't know how they're gonna do it. There's gonna have to be 10 cities.
Really spread out.
There's gonna have to be RV parks.
Have to B&B this thing till hell won't have it.
You may be going to the draft and sleeping like within miles of where I spend the night.
Yeah,
and, you know, I would believe that. But you know, we were lucky in Detroit. There's a ton of hotels, so we have plenty of people downtown. There are plenty of places downtown to put people.
I know the NFL didn't just give it to Green Bay and then go, "Oh, I never thought of that."
I know.
You know, so I'm sure that they've figured something out, or they have a plan at least, right?
They might, or they may be sending everybody to Europe.
What did Mike Tyson say about having a plan?
Yeah. Everyone's got a plan until you get punched in the face.
Exactly.
Okay, the Rock Hall of Fame inductees. Let's start there.
Yeah, we got them. You know, good class. I think a good class this year. I mean, we've been wanting Foreigner in there for a long time.
Does Lou Graham get up? Is Lou Graham going to sing when Foreigner goes in the Hall of Fame?
He is. He's part of it. We've been wanting Peter Frampton in there for a long time. Ozzy, we've talked about as a solo artist for a while. They found a way to get the MC5 and Jimmy Buffett in with these musical excellence awards. And so I think overall it's a pretty solid class. Dave Matthews Band deserves in. Cher, of course, they couldn't resist, even if, you know, she is saying she will not serve, or she has said she will not serve if elected. We haven't heard from her since the announcement came out. So, and then we have the ones people are going to quibble about, the Mary J. Blige, Kool and the Gang, A Tribe Called Quest, Dionne Warwick, you know, are these Rock and Roll Hall of Fame people. They are under the current mission statement of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, but, you know.
I'm way past getting upset about she was not a rock act, he was not a rock act. They're going in,
They're going in, yeah. But at least this year, like I say, I mean, they're writing some wrongs with Foreigner, Frampton, even the MC5, Jimmy Buffett. You know, these have long been on the list of the bands and artists that have been snubbed by the Rock Hall.
Will Taylor Swift go into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame eventually?
I believe she will. It's obviously.
You're going to put Dionne Warwick in. Taylor.
Yeah, no,
Johnny Cash, Dionne Warwick, they're in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Why wouldn't...
Yeah. Yeah, no, absolutely.
It's like the Music Hall of Fame, really, it is.
It's the popular Music Hall of Fame, only they have the brand name rock and roll.
Yeah.
In it. But like I say, at least they're getting some, and it seems like this.
Taylor may build her own Hall of Fame.
Oh, man. I mean, she had, no big shock there, but yeah, a huge, huge week, with the new album. Set all sorts of records, 300 billion streams for the individual songs, what was the sales? 2.5 million, what they call now equivalent album units. So basically that's downloads, physical sales, and all of that. But 2.5 million, that breaks her own record, from last year when she put out the new version of 1989. All the internet memes, the hits, that she had this and that, 20 different versions of out there of the Tortured Poets Department. So just, all the way around, huge, huge, huge. Travis Kelce's mom, Donna, says it's Taylor's best work ever. She's a bastion of music criticism, so we should definitely listen to her.
You're saying that sarcastically?
Yes.
Yes.
Right, I'm in post draft fuzziness.
Who all shows up on the album with her?
Well, the main guests are Post Malone and Florence and the Machine.
Okay. Does anybody say no when she calls?
I don't know. You've not heard that. You've not heard about people saying no. Clearly the guy from the 1975 wasn't asked, so he might have said no, since people seem to think a lot of these songs are about him.
Right.
You asked if she's going to go into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Does she even have a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame yet?
Not yet, I don't believe, but our good buddy Sammy Hagar will.
Yeah.
He is going to have the 2,779th star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. So that's just one short of 2,800. And this will happen on April 30th.
I guess the question there is, what took so long? I mean, there are people who haven't even come close to doing it. Sammy's done.
Here's the deal with that is, first, the Hollywood, Hollywood Chamber of Commerce has to nominate you. And who knows why and how that happens. And then you have, I think it's up to 2 years to raise a certain amount of money. Either you pull it out of your pocket if you're a rich star, or in the case of Martha Reeves recently, she did a public funding campaign.
Right, she said GoFundMe, right?
To get her star. So you have to pay for it. You're paying for the physical star. You're paying for the ceremony that goes along with it. Shutting down Hollywood Boulevard for a minute to get your star.
I think Seacrest is in there already, isn't he?
He probably is.
Why Taylor Swift should wave her magic wand and be on the Hollywood Walk of Fame?
Well, I think somebody just, I'm surprised the Hollywood Chamber of Commerce didn't say anything already. And we also don't know who's been nominated. They don't make that public. When somebody, ponies up the money and gets ready to be on it, that's when you hear about it.
They may not want her in the Walk of Fame simply because the crush of people that will show up, like in Green Bay next year, they won't be able to handle.
Well, I think that's maybe the discussion there. Okay, where do we put her star? Where can we accommodate that number of people that we think will come see the star? Interestingly, Van Halen, the band, does not have a star, and neither do David Lee Roth or Eddie Van Halen separately. So Sammy is the first guy from that world who's getting in there.
Yeah, I think the Hollywood Walk people need to update their process.
Send them an email. I'm sure they take suggestions.
Game show hosts are in there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, for a long time, rock and rollers weren't.
All right. I'm more upset about this than by who got into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Madonna's being sued again.
Again, this time for a concert, her concert in Washington, D.C., some fans who went to the show, as well as their attorneys, are starting a class action lawsuit. And they're basically, the claim is fraudulent advertising, that the show is advertised to start at a certain time, and it's not just that it starts a little bit late, it starts way late, more than 2 hours late, you know, that she kept people waiting in an uncomfortably hot arena because she won't have air conditioning on. And basically when fans at that show, when fans were chanting.
I thought it was bad when the Eagles had the TVs turned off at the Bradley Center because a football game was on.
Yeah. So this is, you know, they've asked, there's still a pending case in New York that they've asked, that Madonna's attorneys have asked the judge to dismiss. But, you know, the Washington, D.C. attorneys are firing back at some of Madonna's attorneys' claims, just saying that, you know, come on, this is beyond the pale. This is not going on 15 minutes, a half hour late, you know, like, you know, Taylor Swift starts on time. Springsteen starts within a reasonable amount of time. You know, there's no reason that Madonna has to be two and a half hours after the starting time. And, you know, creates a heavily inconvenient situation where public transportation shuts down. People make commitments to babysitters, all based on the stated start time. So,
if you're a Madonna fan, do you build that into your babysitter hiring and your transportation needs? If you're a fan, you'd kind of know about this.
That's going to be the counter argument by Madonna and by Live Nation's attorneys, is they're going to say people know. You know, this is happening all over the place. So yeah, make your plans accordingly.
Then I would say just put it on the ticket then.
Yeah.
Then just put it on the ticket.
A lot of people could make adjustments here. A lot of people could change the way they're doing things.
You could say showtime not before 10 p.m. Something like that.
Why don't they just wake Madonna up a little earlier and get her, you know, lying to her about what time it is.
Then there's that at this D.C. concert. She said, you know, I'm late. I'm sorry. No, I'm not sorry. I am who I am. I'm always late. So it is.
Was she late when she was younger? Or is this an old thing? Like, what?
This has started on the last few tours.
Okay.
It's just become a thing. You know, it's basically, it's club time. You know, she's treating her shows as like a club
night.
But, you know, it is a different thing.
I understand the outrage from the people who want to see Madonna, but this is never going to affect me.
No, you won't be there.
I'm not going to go.
Yeah. But it's not about you.
No, it's not about
me. But, you
know,
if you ever decide you do want to go now, you know to go wait.
But if I have a bar stool land on my head, just walking down the street one night in Nashville because Morgan Wallen's having a bad night.
You'll say Morgan Wallen must be here.
Yeah.
So he finally, he did break his silence about it. Yeah, he put out a statement saying that, you know, he didn't want to check in until he made amends with some folks. He says, I've touched base with Nashville law enforcement, my family, and the good people at Chiefs, which is Eric's church bar. And he says, I'm not proud of my behavior, and you know, he accepts responsibility. And, you know,
he's lucky he didn't kill somebody.
He's lucky he didn't kill somebody.
Landed near cops.
He's lucky he's not in jail. He says, although he may be once they take it to court. Mm-hmm. And then he says they're going to, but he says his tour will not be affected. He's not canceling or postponing dates or anything. May have to for a, may have to for a court, for a court date.
And it had nothing to do with his ex-wife getting...
He didn't address that.
No. Well, because that's what the story out of the box was.
That was one of the things. But then she said, no, that's not the case. And then he, you know, so... It may have been, you know, who knows what makes somebody do something.
Seems to be a long-lasting story, though. This is like a slowpoke sucker. It's been going on for...
Take, you know, like anything in the legal system. Yeah. I believe May 6th is his hearing, is the initial hearing. So he has a show in Nashville that night, so convenient.
That will work out nicely, won't it?
Yeah, well, you just go straight from the court.
Unless you can't make bail, and they go, unfortunately, Morgan can't be here. He's... locked up until he makes he's got to post $1,000 bail.
Yeah, I think that's not going to be an issue.
Johnny Cash, what, they find somebody digging through a closet somewhere and found some old tapes?
A new album. His son, you know, John Carter Cash, did go through the closet or the vaults, wherever they kept things, and found this group of songs recorded in 1993 when Johnny Cash was between recording contracts, and he was just kind of in the studio working on stuff, so... John Carter Cash, the son, got in the studio with some collaborate some of his dad's former collaborators, including Marty Stewart, and they fleshed out the songs, and they're going to put them out on June 30th. It's going to be called Johnny Cash Songwriter.
Guess what I found next to these tapes? Einstein's brain.
Yeah, this kind of thing happens.
Yeah,
you know, Woody Guthrie estate's been doing that with his unpublished and unrecorded lyrics. They've been giving them to musicians to, you know, to write the song around these lyrics. So this could be good. You know, it was obviously a very relaxed time in Johnny Cash's career, a little frustrated maybe with his commercial fortunes, but really all he was doing was recording music he wanted to make. He didn't have a record company.
Are these two-track, four-track, eight-track, 16?
They didn't say.
Okay.
I would assume they're somewhere between like, you know, 16 and 48 tracks.
Oh,
they were
okay.
Recorded in 93.
So real recording.
Real recording. It's not like a Bruce Springsteen, Nebraska, where it was a cassette tape in his back pocket.
Right.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
Hey, the Beatles made that work.
Yeah,
for their last song.
That they did their last three songs.
Right, exactly. So don't laugh at those cassette recordings.
Oh, no. You'll see what happens.
But let me say this. Spice Girls reunion.
There was. You did have
it. We kind of touched on this last week, but are there more details?
Well, what happened was this. So they were all at Victoria Beckham's 50th birthday party. That's Posh Spice. To you, and David Beckham, Posh's husband, filmed the five ladies singing together again. Not exactly a concert performance, but it was a Spice Girls reunion to make music. So they
were
still had their
dancing together.
Yeah, they were dancing.
Were they all in sync? Did they all have their moves right?
It's out there. It's out there on social media. Mm. You know, we're not gonna mistake this for a performance.
Wait, so the Spice Girls just had a few cocktails and started singing together. Nothing really coordinated, because there's a story about Sting at his wedding that the police got up on stage, he and his other bandmates, and they were just going to play a couple of songs, and Andy Summers said it was just like being back in the band. It was horrible. Sting was throwing dirty looks at us on the stage because it wasn't perfect.
I've heard that story too. And they didn't rehearse or anything, but there they were.
But no such dirty looks cast.
No,
just a bunch of girls just wanting to have fun.
I saw what you did there.
Yeah, so we'll see.
That's Cyndi Lauper.
I know, but I saw it anyway. It's a song
we'll see if it leads to anything else.
Have you seen the Bon Jovi documentary?
I have seen the whole thing, and I spoke with Mr. Bon Jovi about it, too. It's good. I don't know that it needed to be the 5 hours it is.
I thought it was like an hour and a half.
No, it's four episodes, most of which are longer than an hour. But it's, you know, it is.
Comprehensive?
It's comprehensive. It's very compelling. It's framed around, obviously it wasn't going to be this when they shot it, but it's framed around his vocal issues and the surgery he had on his vocal cords and the uncertainty of whether he'll be able to perform concerts again. And they use that as kind of the device around which to weave the narrative of the band's career. And everybody's in there. Richie Zambora's interviewed extensively. Bon Jovi's wife, Dorothea, is in there, and you almost never see her talk. Doc McGee is interviewed for it. A lot of great footage. There's this guy, Gautam Chopra, who's really a sports documentary maker, which is how he connected with Bon Jovi. Did a really good job, and a lot of great footage. You know, now there are some reports surfacing that Richie was not happy with it. One of his reps told People magazine that he went to visit John Bon Jovi in New Jersey, and he brought John a nice birthday present, a nice guitar, and then they screened, they were screening the documentary, and they said Richie left after the third episode because he was sick and tired of what he was seeing.
Oh, boy.
And I don't think he gets thrown under the bus, really.
It's just because it's hard to watch, you know.
Maybe if he'd watched
one episode a week, he'd be okay.
He does say in the documentary he doesn't regret leaving the band, but he regrets how he did it. And the band members express their anger and disappointment at him for the way he did it. But it's really not belabored in there, you know. So but yeah, it probably is just kind of hard watch.
I am just interested in the story more than anything
else.
It's
a good story.
Yeah.
And, you know, they treat Alec John Such, the bass player who left and who passed away last year, you know, treat him in a really sweet manner. Springsteen's in it, making some very interesting observations and comments, because, you know, he and Bon Jovi are good buddies, but he talks about the young John, you know, coming up on the Jersey Shore in Asbury Park, and, you know, Bruce will get up and jam with those guys, but what it was like watching him back in those days. So, you know, there's a lot of cool stuff in there.
So just the first
5 hours.
The first episode is available today, or they release?
No, I think they're dropping all four today.
Okay. All right. Well, I've got basketball to watch at 4:30. I've got the draft again tonight.
You do?
Yeah. So are you going back to the draft tonight?
I'll see. You know, there's nothing like the first round.
Is that a long drive?
No. It's only maybe 20 minutes down the road.
How's parking?
But the draft, I parked a good 20-minute walk.
You may as well walk from your house.
That would have taken a little longer.
All right. Well, whatever your decision is, have a good time.
Yeah, look for me in the crowd.
If you want. Wave or yell or something.
Yeah, I will.
All right,
I'll wear my Bob and Brian baseball cap.
There you go, baby.
All right, we'll talk to you next week, Gary.
Okay, you guys have a good weekend.
Gary Graff, our music expert.